Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hannistein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it girls.
Hey girls. Welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay.
Welcome back to the pod, ladies. And thank you all so much for all your positive feedback on last week's episode with Aisling. We're so, so happy that you guys loved it as much as we loved recording it, because it was fab, I have to say. And we learned so much.
We learned so much. And I need to like re-listen to that every other month to just get it in my head.
Yeah.
Because now I feel like, since that podcast, I'm like, I'm being more watchful of my body, which is something that we should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more in tune, more aligned. But girlies, we actually have a really exciting secret project that we're launching right now. As you listen to this, we are launching an exclusive face mask with our good friend Neve McCabe, CEO and owner of NIM. Her masks, I mean, you and I have been wearing her masks now since the start of, well,
Maskville. And we don't mean face masks. We obviously mean, you know, protective masks that are now worn everywhere. We're all now just weaving masks into our wardrobe. Mm-hmm. So we thought it'd be really fun because Neve is a good friend of ours and she's been working so hard on her masks to do a little collab. We love working with women. That's something that we did with our last merch line. So we wanted to do another little project, which was just like working with an independent woman who we love. And she's so good. We learned so much from working with her and we're so happy to be launching this. So I did a little drawing of a little angel cherub on a little cloud, and then Neve kind of weaved in some of her artwork, and it's printed on like this black and white checkered mask, which looks really cool. Jenny always says it looks like a kind of
like drag racing, like actual like Formula One. Like it has that like checkered look. I just think it's so badass. We wanted to make it look like, just, you know, because masks now are going to be a part of our lives and
for the foreseeable.
And you know, we love a good accessory. We were all lolling in our first meeting. I was like, trust women to just like, because we were talking about all these crazy masks are coming in out, all these like bejewels, and I'm like, if women can make something fucking fash and like a gorge accessory, honey, we will. And we have, and it's very like a good collaboration. This is our first ever brand collaboration as well.
It is, so we're so fun,
so happy it's with Neve. And one thing that we made fucking sure to include, girls, and can I get an amen?
I think we can hear them already.
The organic cotton that touches your face is black, so it is not white. It will not be picking up your lipstick, I mean your foundation. I hate that. I mean, obviously it will still transfer, but you will not be able to see it as much, because I do hate that when I have one of my masks on and I take it off.
Yeah,
it's the white.
Kind of dirty. It looks dirty.
It just looks, they're harder to keep fresh, but these are obviously like super sustainable. As I said, the cotton that touches your face is 100% organic cotton, so that's really, really breathable. They come with
really helpful for mask knee. We're seeing like a lot of people are getting breakouts, especially if you have to wear them a lot. Now they're really comfortable masks as well. Yes,
really, really comfy. They come with there's one option with the ribbons. Some people love the tie ribbons. We have them in yellow and pink, and then we have the rest of them with adjustable elastics for around your ears, which are super easy to whip on and off. And adjustable, as I said, to each individual face shape. They are so cute.
They're so cute. And they come with a little, like the pack that they come in is so great. So it's NIM x It Gals. You get a little like postcard with the artwork on, and you also get the most incredible fucking sticker that I'm dying to get my hands on. It's this like iridescent, the little image that Neve and I created, and it's like perfect. For like, I want it on my water bottle, I want it on my laptop, I need it on my phone. It's so cute. It's iridescent, for God's sake. We just got our brand so much.
Yeah, we had to do like a really, really gorge, succinct kind of launch with like everything looks like a proper collaboration between the two brands. And then obviously also one of the things that we're so happy to be able to do with Niamh is we're able to donate 15% of all proceeds to the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, which is something that Niamh has done throughout her entire journey with making these masks, which is just so amazing. She has donated so much money and we are more than happy to also be on board with that. We obviously started to donate and work with the Rape Crisis Centre this year and we're happy to be able to support them as much as we can.
Yes. So thank you so much, everyone who is going to be popping out buying our masks.
So go over to, they are going to be on sale on Niamh's website, so not on ours. We'll have a link up though. TheNim, so NIM.co. We'll have them linked all over our social media. We will also have a link for it on our website, so you'll be able to find them super easy. But go buy these masks. They're, oh, also, sorry, completely forgot. There's only 100 of them fucking made.
Limited edition.
So we're doing a first initial run of 100. If you want them, go get them. They are fucking adorable. And look, we all, this is a new accessory that we can all have some fun with. Because I know, I thought, like at the start of all this, I'd only need one fucking mask. Jesus Christ, I need a wardrobe.
I know. I need a mask wardrobe.
And I'll have one. So this week, honey, what are we chatting about on the pod? We're in guest land.
We
right
are.
Now.
We just thought, like, now that we have our new setup, it's so much easier for us to get guests over. So we have been really, you know, pouring out the guests. It's great. And we have our good friend James Kavanagh, who you all know and love and know that he is a great friend of the pod. We you know, have always spoken about our love for pop culture with James, and like we've been friends for 10 years. We always just like had that in common. And when the Paris Hilton documentary came out on YouTube, This Is Paris, we were like, okay, we need to get James on to talk about this, because we were all in our WhatsApp group chatting about it and watching it and stuff like that. And it's just intriguing as well, because we're, the three of us are all in a kind of like public job, and we so we kind of resonated totally with the idea of like having a character and kind of sometimes feeling a bit trapped by that character or whatever. So that's like what the documentary was about. So if you have not watched the documentary, there are some spoilers in there, so like maybe watch it before listening. Mm-hmm.
But if not, I mean, Paris Hilton is just like such a well-known mm-hmm. character of pop culture. Obviously, even if you weren't our age, she was such a huge part of our teenage years. But
there's such a rebirth of her now on Instagram.
There's like, you know, you'll get so much insight into her, and just like, you know, we just have an open convo. You know, it's not a school lesson. We don't do that around here.
No.
But yeah, we had a great old chat with James, and we're excited for you all to listen. So without further ado, welcome James to the pod, and girlies, we will talk to you next week. Go buy our masks. So welcome to the pod. Long time friend of the pod.
Yes.
Mr. James Kavanagh.
How are you?
Good.
Thanks.
I can't believe
me
this,
back.
This is your first time on It Gals though.
Yes, it is. I was on the Sexy Gals, wasn't it?
Yes.
Sex Gals.
We thought we'd lube you up.
Today.
Yeah.
You've widened me.
Yeah.
I'm ready for entry.
Yes.
Your foreplay has officially ended. You're now ready for penetration.
Well, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
Thanks for coming.
No problem.
C-U-M-M-I-N-G.
Have you signed up to anyone's OnlyFans yet?
I have actually. Do you know what? I get like, I get sucked in to, someone would be really hot on Instagram and I'd click on, and then like suddenly I've paid 10 euro and then it's coming out of my account every month.
Oh,
but I kind of usually only sign up because I want to have just see what they're like naked.
Yeah.
But then
I'm
like, I've signed up. Do you know what I mean?
And then you forget that it's going out. Because I'm going to do it this Friday.
Lindsay has been talking about signing up to an OnlyFans for...
hold on. Do you mean like getting one for yourself?
No, there's a few that
are... to follow someone.
Well, like it's going to be an experience. Like my friends coming over, we're going to like all subscribe to our faves.
Okay.
And just kind of see what's going on.
I do it out of total curiosity.
Yeah.
Because like you get great stuff on Pornhub. Like, when I follow someone on OnlyFans, it's kind of like, I just really would like to see what they're naked.
It's the allure as well of being like, I have to pay for this content.
Yeah.
You know, like, what are you putting up that is like, you know, people are giving your money.
And the curiosity, I'm just like, what are yous up to over there?
Yeah.
Like, I love when it's like a big, like a kind of, not even a big one. There's a girl who I follow who has about 70K and she randomly started one. I'm like, ooh, what are you up to?
Yeah.
What are you doing over there? Yeah.
Are you being dirty or are you being like PG and just like...
I'd say most of them are being a bit PG, PG, which is annoying as fuck.
So many guys are on it, like gym guys in America, and they don't even show, like they don't show anything. They're just in their boxers and they have 50,000 euro
it's
a
just
month
like nudes.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Not even nude, but like just body pics.
You don't have
just
to try that hard. If I had a whisper of one of those jock bods, I would be on OnlyFans.
You'd get money.
Get money.
You get money. You would.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to show my bits.
Like. See, we all would get money because, I mean, especially in Ireland, if we were like fully just being like, yeah, we're doing it.
Yeah, that
first,
would be gas.
Like kind of influencers to be like, yeah. Well, Kerry Katone is on it.
People do use it in a non-nudie way as well.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, but that's what its first intention was, for famous people to share exclusive content with their fans.
And
then it turned
gym.
Nudie.
And for gym people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was for personal training videos. Yeah. So, and then like just sex workers were like,
yeah.
Which is, I mean, deadly because people are making a bank on there.
A loss.
Fair play.
But today, speaking of sexy fame. Content sex. And fame and selling your soul to the fucking devil of the internet, we thought we'd get you on today to talk about the Paris Hilton documentary because it has been making waves and you know a lot. Well, you love Paris Hilton. You're like us. You love a good
pop culture
icon.
Yeah.
Did you watch? You obviously watched the documentary.
I did, yeah. It was took an unexpected turn. Have you watched it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like I thought it was... To be honest, I thought she was sexually abused or something when she was younger. That's where I thought it was going.
Same.
I mean, she was abused in physically and stuff, but I thought that was the road it was going down. I'm always so unsure how I can process Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never truly know if she's on or off or whatever. Like, even when she was in the car at the start, she was like, I'm doing the voice. I need to switch off. Like, she always just switches into this.
Yeah.
Into the character that she plays.
And that's why I didn't know what was the documentary was going to be like. Because I'm not like, I can like acknowledge Paris Hilton as like a pop culture icon. Mm. And I loved The Simple Life. And like, I think at our age, we were like 17, maybe a little bit younger when like all of that pop culture phenomenon was taking off with Paris Hilton. So it was so part of our like coming of age as well. So I always have like a nostalgic kind of draw. But like Paris Hilton now, I'm just like, I'm very indifferent to her. Like, I'm like, she doesn't really like interest me.
Yeah,
I think
same.
That's kind of what I was a bit like, and I'm sure everyone was a bit like, iffy about this documentary, because obviously it's been in the paper the past few years that like she's been quite jealous of Kim Kardashian, because like when Paris first came out, Kim Kardashian was her assistant.
Yeah.
Her wardrobe organizer or something.
Yeah. Do you know what comes up in the documentary is that former assistant to Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
And did you see the scene, which is early on as well in the documentary, when it's like all the paps following Kim and Paris, and like a girl literally steps in front of Kim Kardashian to stand beside Paris. And it's like, can I have a picture? And like,
of course
that
she
was
used
never
that clip.
Happened. Yeah, exactly. It was like, I was the first.
Yeah.
And it was very much, so if we talking about the documentary, it was obviously like the real look, this it was kind of sold as this like real look of Paris Hilton. You don't know me, this is my real life. I've never spoke about this before.
Which I was skeptical of. I was like, this is going to be like a manicured kind of like, I'm actually a great businesswoman. I thought it was going to be all that shit.
Yeah.
But it was actually, I thought it was done genuinely quite well.
Yeah. But I'd be similar to you in that like I follow Paris, what is it, Paris 2000s on Instagram.
Yes.
And it's just all those shots from like 2006 of them at the Nickelodeon Awards. And I just, when I see those images of Paris Hilton, I get happy because it reminds me of that time in my life when I was kind of loving pop culture and all that vibe. But she's kind of frozen in time or something.
Yeah.
That's what I always find about her. Her style, everything is just very frozen in time.
Yeah. That's kind of scary.
Isn't it?
It is. Because like,
I
especially
think her brain is frozen in time as well a little bit.
And like when you see, you know, obviously she got first famous with Nicole Richie and like how she has evolved and changed. And then you see like, you know, her talking to her sister and her mom, and they don't seem to have any rapport. They don't seem to get Paris or.
Yeah.
She seems to be like a caricature.
I was like interested. Yeah. Even in her family. Cause I was interested in that. Like when they showed, obviously like her sister, she married a Rothschild, which is like, Jesus Christ, like two big
dynasties clashing. Like,
like she did exactly what they wanted. But I remember hearing that when, she went into The Simple Life, obviously she brought out the like catchphrase "That's hot" and the baby voice. Apparently she robbed that off her sister.
Off. Really?
Yeah. That I remember that came out in the news like later, like Nikki Hilton, isn't it?
Yeah.
She said, like, she was like, I was the one who always said that's hot. And then, like, when Paris went into The Simple Life, she created, obviously, this, like, character of herself. She had this, like, baby voice, and she'd be like, that's hot. Which I thought was interesting when I watched the documentary, because they kind of went into how she didn't really have much of an identity because of, I guess, this school that she went to. And then when she came out of it, she was just like running away from like this horrible experience she had. In those, like, it's like the schools are like for troubled teens.
Yeah. Yeah. Military schools. It's kind of like what your man from Malcolm in the Middle went to. It seems like that.
Well, I have a friend who went to one.
Oh, really?
Yes. And in Utah for years, from when he was like 14 to, I'm pretty sure, 17, 18. Now, he didn't have like abuse or anything like that, but he went to a couple of them. And it can be anything from like drug use, partying. It's basically just like, your parents are rich. That's first of all how you're getting in there, because they're really fucking expensive. And it's like correct behavior, but it's not like run by a military. It's like private. So I guess they can kind of get away with like any old behavior. Because he said like some of them were great.
Yeah.
Some of them were like horrible.
Yeah. Well, the one she seems to, or she went to, seems to have been very dark. And I think like I've always watched, like watching The Simple Life, Nicole was always my favorite one, to be honest.
Yeah. Same. She was, like, she's witty.
She is sharp AF.
Yeah.
So gas. I loved her, like her fashion sense evolving through
with the
years.
Like, little party streamer hair.
Yeah.
She was the funny one.
Yeah, yeah, she like, was so gas.
And she was the, she wasn't afraid to make herself look dumb and like outrageous, which made The Simple Life.
Yeah, totally. And Paris, maybe like looking at that documentary and seeing what she went through, I don't know, maybe that stifled her like becoming a real person in a way or something. Because she seemed to just kind of reflect like whatever kind of Nicole was doing and stuff.
And I think that she like went into it with like an idea of the kind of personality she wanted to be known for as being famous, which was this like kind of dumb blonde, but like obviously everyone's always like, she's actually so smart and like she wouldn't be worth the money she is now. She's dumb, you know, that way. One part I loved about the documentary was when she met up with like the other survivors of the school, and they were all talking about when Paris was like saying like, I don't even know how to use this like sweeping brush, and they were like, we had to like fucking sweep and clean that place top to bottom nonstop. But I think like she created this personality for herself, and then because she was known for that, she just like kept it going. It's this weird like Peter Pan syndrome. Like, she's 39.
I know, I couldn't believe that.
And she's still like, yeah. It, the voice was great, crazy when she started slipping in and out of that.
Oh, that, yeah, it was so weird. And like, even if you look at some of the old clips on YouTube, she's like, oh, come on, Nicole, come on, Nicole.
I mean, come on, Nicole.
Like, seeing that slip in and out is,
it's pretty psycho. It is like, you know, I'm watching the documentary and I felt like, oh, we'll get more, I will kind of understand her more. And I actually don't.
That's actually the thing, I don't, you know, anymore.
I'm kind of like,
I've learned something new about her. And I maybe kind of understand why she is the way she is a little bit, but I don't. I still am lost. Yeah. And like, can we talk about her men? Like,
oh my
god, boyfriend. Like,
oh, that was wild.
That was just weird.
That's when I kind of got interested in the documentary.
She always seems to go, like, I thought that was very illuminating, that whole, like, when she was at the festival and stuff. But like, the men she kind of goes for tend to be like these really young, aspiring DJ types who want to be like get into festivals with wristbands and stuff. I loved, you know, she was like, I'm cutting your wristband. She's like, that's the worst thing you can do to someone is cut their artist back.
Yes.
That was so good. And then you saw him getting like bundled into the car.
Yeah.
And like, I think everyone's been there. I mean, I've been there with the boyfriend where like, I mean, not where I'm like doing a DJ set, but where you're trying to have fun or you're doing something important, and then there's this guy just being a drunk imbecile.
I was getting so secondhand angry watching him like, kiss me.
Oh my God.
And she was like, stop it. I'm about to fucking, and he dropped the fucking laptop.
But like, I've been in those situations and it has been like an eye-opening experience, being like, if I am like, you know, trying to, sorry, my phone. My handyman. Sorry. but I've been in those situations where I'm like, yeah, it's an important time and I need a partner. And when they're showing you that side where they're like, no, this is important to you, I'm going to fuck it up. That's when you're like, no.
Yeah.
I guess she went into that where she was like, you know, she had been like, had such a low standard of how she was treated from school. I guess that did like filter into, because I remember like she was engaged. She's been engaged twice, hasn't she?
Yeah. One of the engagement snap on the Alps when she was skiing. That was the most recent one. Yeah.
And then before that, it was some like Russian, it was like Nikolai.
She's
something.
Always
and
had Starvos, similar.
Some shipping man.
That's it. Yeah. It was like a yacht like air.
Yeah.
And it was like
gorgeous.
He was stunning.
But I think he was, and didn't she go out with
your man from
Backstreet Boys?
No, Nick Carter. apparently yeah. he abused her.
Yeah, he hit her.
And she also went out with the Sum 41 guy.
Yeah.
And did you even see her laptop collection?
Oh, that
like
was
some
weird.
Of the stuff, I was like, whoa, that is weird.
And she's like, I just feel like I need to have everything because everything was taken from me.
Yeah. And like, it was like when she went into like that character, it was like almost like regression, I felt. It was like when she spoke about certain things, she had the voice on.
That's actually so true. Yeah.
Which was so weird.
It's like she hides kind of in that character when she's uncomfortable with something. But the laptop, like, why are you even keeping them? And like, there's a name on like each laptop. I'd say like a psychologist would just have a field day like watching that. There's just so much to like pick apart.
What left me kind of like dumbfounded was like, okay, you had this situation where you were sent away. Are you gonna just like, I felt like it was a bit like, you gotta move past this. Like, are you not like, regardless of that situation, like, I feel like, you know, it was a bit performative over sister when she was like, do you ever want kids? Like, random question to ask
like
her almost.
The producer's
yeah.
definitely.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And that kind of stuff. But I feel like no one really knows what to make of her. And she's always had this money to be able to just have whatever life she wants. But like, I think no one can like penetrate and help her.
Yeah, I did find that scene with her sister a bit scary, because it was like, or a bit sad, I mean, because like her sister is clearly like very established and very like, she has her big apartment in New York and she kind of seems very on a road. And then Paris was there kind of dressed in like 2006 type outfits. And I don't know, it just felt like she was totally lost and her sister was very settled. Yeah. I kind of get
clothes. The clothes are worrying.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry to make something so superficial to be like insane, but like, what the feck is up with the clothes? And when they were showing back all the clips of like, you know, 2006 or when she first got into like the clubbing scene and was hanging out with like drag race people and whatever, like, yeah. she looked deadly.
Yeah, she looked
like
amazing.
She had really cool kind of like almost rocker tomboy style.
Yeah.
But now it's like princessy, diamante kind of... It's
well,
bizarre.
I think it's like a caricature, because remember, like, Nikki Hilton did say that she was like, Paris is like such a tomboy.
Yeah.
And she's like, but she's made this weird brand around her being this like Disney princess. So it's almost like what she thinks people expect of her. So yeah. it's like she started a character, which like I guess a lot of people do when they become famous, like, you know, technically
it becomes
it's all
your brand.
Yeah, it's like acting to a certain extent. And yeah. like, you know, it's like how people like associate like leopard print and neon with me and Lindsay, when like we probably don't really even wear it that much anymore, but it just happens to be part of our brand, you know.
Yeah.
But she's kind of like leaning into it so much, and it's like she's just become this like caricature that she's like,
people want to see me in like ball gowns and Disney.
And I guess
blah, blah,
people
blah.
Do.
Yeah.
You know, if she's appearing somewhere, going to something. I remember all my, like a load of my friends from school went to see her in BT2 when she brought out Eras.
I remember that.
I remember that. Oh my
God. Mania. Like absolute mania.
I can't believe she went to BT2.
BT2. God, I missed that shop. Yeah. There was one part of the documentary as well where she said, which I kind of resonated with as an influencer, where she said like, I've created this brand and now I'm kind of stuck with it. And when she was talking about money and making money, she obviously was born into like incredible wealth. Mm. And you know, she seems to be really money obsessed, but in a way of like it being an anxiety thing, because all yeah. she's ever known and all she's ever been able to fall back on is money and her wealth, and that's what kind of kept her afloat.
Yeah.
She hasn't managed to have like, you know, friendships lasting or relationships. Her family life seems to not be that close. So money, I guess, is like the most important yeah. thing to her.
And so probably to her family as well. Like, even she kept saying over and over, I want to make a billion. I want to make yeah. a billion, and I won't be happy until I make a billion. And you just know, like, when she makes that billion, she still won't be
no,
happy.
No, like, yeah. like, I just need 2 billion.
Yeah.
I guess it's, yeah, when, and must be from coming from a family like a, like one of these like air, like a hotel empire family. It's like she's just constantly seeking like approval,
yeah.
you know, that like her dad, I mean, I guess the dad didn't want to be in the documentary, but her mom seems like scary.
I was very spooked by the mom, to be honest. And that's
she was very cold.
Very cold, very distant, like didn't know she got like abused. I find that weird that that conversation never happened. I know everyone's situations are different, but the way she was so shocked about everything, and also the way she, like in the documentary, she was literally, two men came into the house and captured her and dragged her away. Mm. How can you... can you be okay with
and
doing that?
And they didn't even tell the kids.
Why not explain to the kids what's happening? Yeah, and that might be a bit better.
Like, Paris needs help. She's going to a special place that will hopefully help her. And, like, I do presume that, like, the parents had the best intentions. Because I don't think, like... I think that, I mean, they probably overreacted because it just seemed like she was doing a bit of underage clubbing in New York.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it was that crazy of a situation. But, like, I guess they had this, like, idea that their family name had to be, like, protected and that they had to, like, uphold this, like... Because I think something that was interesting that the mom said, Kathy Hilton, she was, like, the eldest of the Hilton kids, so her in-laws, were all, like, given money. Mm. And then the youngest remained work.
Yeah.
So it's, like, it's almost, like, inherited, like need for approval. Because obviously her dad, like, worked his ass off and became really rich. Mm. Like, almost, like, be, like... I'm now like one of the Hiltons, like rich as well. And it's like she's kind of following in his tracks of like trying to like, you know, prove that she's like worthy of the Hilton name or something. Whereas like Nikki like just married a fucking Rothschild.
And it's like Kathy is delighted with that. Like
she creeped me out.
That's destiny like completed.
Because like she was a child star, Kathy Hilton. And like, I don't know if you watch Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Kyle and Kim were also on that show. And in Beverly Hills, there was like a few seasons where they were always like, it was just like, Kathy's not happy with this. And Kathy, and it's like, she's not even on the fucking show. And you're mentioning how like, she's not happy with Kim being on the show. Or she's not happy with how like, she basically is like, which is weird because she's married into the Hiltons. She has this like idea of what a Hilton should be as well, I think.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's not Hilton for you guys to be on this show. And like, Paris can't be on it. And you can't be mentioning, like, I think she stopped them mentioning, because Kyle used to always like mention like, Paris, my niece and all this kind of, and you could see in the documentary that they were kind of close.
Yeah.
Because Kyle had all those like video footage of like Paris as a teenager.
And Paris definitely wouldn't mind being in that show. Like,
God, I'd say she'd love it. You know, that way, like that would be more relevant than the shit she's doing now. But that creeped me the fuck out. That made me be like, oh, that's some weird ass rich people shit, like
you don't understand unless you're in that. I think as well, she seems to maybe have some guilt that, like, you know, what made her go away to that weird corrective school or whatever was the fact that she was clubbing, and now she's still doing just that. Like, so she's now like made all her money from the thing that they rejected
that's
and were so scared of. Like, so that must be weird. And maybe
weird
she's like,
for her to become a DJ, I think. Like, and she was kind of the first kind of like just glam bitch who just started DJing, and now there's so many.
Yeah.
She started that.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a weird move for her to become a DJ. But now that you say that, I'm like, that was probably her approving.
I think it's like her family as well, though. Like, I mean, she said that when she started clubbing, and like, you know, we love clubbing, and it is like a little.
We met
family.
On the club dance.
We met on the club, but you make your own little family.
Why aren't we DJs?
I know.
I've always wanted to be a glam DJ.
I bought a DJ thing. No, it's still in the box.
No, in fairness, you've done a bit of DJing.
I have, to be fair. I have.
I remember.
I DJed at the Coca-Cola Lounge in Longitude, and here, exclusive here. There was actually nothing on the thing. It was a playlist, but I put the playlist together. But I remember, you'll see in the video I have on Instagram, I'm literally like moving, but I'm moving a Bic pen around the table.
Stop. No, I remember.
It looks real good. Yeah,
like, one of the second or third time that I met you in Harrington Street. And we were all dressed up mad. I think you had like a big
red wig.
Yeah,
that was like, we were going to DJ.
Yeah, you were DJing, and I remember you and and you were literally
Patty.
You were literally burning the CD moments before we left Brinks to go and bring it to DJ, and it was like my DJ set, and then Patty had like my DJ set after James.
Three Lady Gaga songs.
Yeah.
I mean, it was brill.
But very influenced by Paris Hilton.
That's why I wanted to do it.
Yeah. Because there is that meme, which I really respected that she spoke about, where there was
a
famous photo of her DJing, and there was a guy leaning in to like turn up something.
Yeah.
And she was like, that became this meme that like, I don't even fucking DJ. When like, you actually can't see, in fairness, she seems to really care about it. Which is random as fuck. I mean, I was so surprised that she went to that, what was the festival?
Tomorrowland.
Because that's intense.
It's huge. And the crowd of people there.
Yeah.
I was like, I probably would go to Paris Hilton DJ set just to be like, there's Paris Hilton, I've seen her.
Yeah.
I can now move on with my life. Like, I mean, I wouldn't exactly be like fist pump. I mean, I probably would. I mean, we were all there.
What's random about Paris Hilton DJing is that, like, I've never known any of her misses.
No.
Oh my God, that's true.
So I'm like, you know, she's the highest paying female DJ, right, in the world. She gets like up to a million a set. But I've never heard, like, even on the documentary, it seemed like the music was kind of dubbed over. I'm like, what is she even playing? I wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know if she's playing like Lady Gaga, Britney Spears, like what?
Yeah, it's funny. I have friends who go to Ibiza like every year and they always go, and they'd be real into music, but they'd always go and see Paris Hilton just to do it.
Yeah, it's a novelty almost.
Yeah, and it's like, I think it's like $200 or whatever, 200 euro to go and see her, and it's rammed.
Yeah. I guess it's the name, and it is probably a lot of people.
That's gas. You want to put it on your Instagram story.
And I'm sure you have fucking gas all time.
Yeah,
and I love
and they have the smoke guns and all.
I guess it's kind of like going to see like Calvin Harris or something. I know he's like an actual musician, but like it's a celebrity DJ.
It is, but I just find it like odd that she's been around for so many years, and I've never heard like, oh, like she loves to play this or that. It's like,
I'm gonna listen to that in the car afterwards. Yeah. I want to hear what these Hilton mixes are.
I know.
I feel like it's like
it could be anything.
House music, like American Euro. Like you know, the Americans love like really bad dance music. Yeah. Like that's what I feel like. It's like. Dun, 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 dun. Like just like that kind of shit. Yeah. She's like fist pumping and bobbing up and down.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
So we talked about her DJ career.
Yeah.
What was any other standout moments for you?
Well, from the documentary, a standout moment was the lack of Lindsay Lohan. Not one mention.
Nicole Richie.
That's true. I mean, there was one or two scenes, but yeah, there was not even a shot of Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
I think there's bad blood there.
I think Paris kind of is resentful. Of Lindsay Lohan, of Kim Kardashian, and of Nicole Richie. I feel like it's like.
Do you think she's really resentful of Lindsay?
I don't think so.
They had beef though.
They had major beef. Do you remember the video of Lindsay being like, "Paris bit me"?
Yeah.
Like, because I think they do openly like hate each other.
Yeah.
I don't think they are in any. But like,
so I just don't think she'd ever use like her platform
to even promote her.
Yeah, because I think she really deeply regrets even helping Kim Kardashian. That's
I don't think my, so. My I actually think it. Her and Kim seem kind of grand.
They were actually on Instagram stories the other day.
Yeah, no, I mean, they seem fine, but I still think that like...
There's probably definitely a bit of a
like, I mean, because Kim was able to carve this like respected career.
Yeah.
More
and
so
a
than
very
Paris.
Different career as well. Kim went in a very, not highbrow, but a kind of highbrow. Do you know what I mean?
Well, Kim, I mean, you know, like her lover, she has evolved her taste levels more. Like Kim was the exact same. Like Kim was like that tack, like wearing those big brown belts over tank tops, and you know, like it wasn't exactly like she. And obviously she met Kanye and kind of became exposed to the fashion world, but like Kim has evolved more. And Kim also, I mean, like ironically a very similar start, like a sold sex tape. And you know, really, like it must be frustrating. But like I don't know, I don't know if I've got much resentment, because I think that she kind of rests on her like heiress title, maybe, like this kind of like, you know, like Kim Kardashian was, you know, born rich with her, like her dad was rich as a lawyer and then he died or whatever, and she grew up around celebrities. But like I think that like there's such a different level of like, you know, being an heiress and being heir, like that's what she was known for when we were kids. It was like Paris Hilton, the heiress to the multi-billion fortune.
I mean, her fragrance was heiress.
That, I mean, and what a title. Like an heiress versus like a celeb is like a different thing. But I mean, I'm sure there is like it is funny that like she, you know, just seemed to like stop like her career evolution. Like it was just like, I became a DJ and that was it. And she has like random perfumes and like, she's
I think it was, I don't, I detect resent because of that shot that was put in, that was kept in. I found that very deliberate.
Yeah.
Like they literally had a fan step right in front of Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the other clips were quite like fast, but you weren't really seeing and being like, and then she mentioned as well a couple of times, like I was the first influencer. I was, and she had that paparazzi guy who was basically made out that she was the first person to take a selfie. And I don't know how true that is. Well, for, definitely not the selfie thing. The first selfie was in like 1941 or something. Like she was not making, like she would, like, yes, yeah, she was like definitely, she was part of the arc of the change of media, because like they said she
Perez Hilton, yeah, the website, yeah, exactly, was the first kind of, yeah, gossipy,
that's so true, yeah, my god,
named like, after her.
Somehow my brain never competed that. I'm like, Perez Hilton, I think, also a member of the Fortune.
But like, I mean, there were so many. I think you know, we get the same with like supermodels who like everyone get Janice Dickinson being like, I was the first.
Twiggy.
Yeah.
But like, it was just a whole bunch of people. It wasn't like, you know, Jade Goody was the first person to make a million off being just a pure reality show. Like, yeah, she also was like basically just famous for being her and bopping around. So like,
I feel like she's one of the top though to have started that.
She is.
And inspire people to want to be famous kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
She
yeah.
was probably the first, one of the first anyway, American kind of socialites who broke into like mainstream media. You know, that way, because like beforehand she was kind of partying with that like New York, I mean there's loads of them I'm sure in New York of these like rich ass families, but we don't know who the fuck they are.
Yeah.
You know, that
like
way,
like you never hear of even the Rothschilds, there's not like a party Rothschild.
It's because they're like secretive as fuck, and I guess she went against that, and she probably was the first in that way.
But then she's not really famous for being famous. She was famous for the simple life.
Yeah.
She was famous for that character. She was like, people who were famous for being famous were like you know, maybe Tara Palmer, Tompkinson, Lottie Moss, those girls who weren't really doing anything. But like Paris did become famous for that show.
Creating a character.
Yeah.
I guess she, but I remember in the documentary they spoke about how like she kind of got famous, I guess in an American perspective, like before the show, and that's how she got the show. The show obviously made her like internationally celebrity level, but before that, remember they showed all these like write-ups she was getting. She had that shoot with David LaChapelle. That was a cool scene.
Oh yeah,
where she was like, he was like taunting me and I was like, fuck off. And it
was as like, if that was a random moment. I was like, definitely planned.
Like, she's so posing.
And she's like, in the midst of it, I said to myself, this is iconic.
Yeah.
She is so weird.
Yeah.
She's so
I love when she's that person, though, do you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's way more endearing or something.
Yeah.
You know? I think, would she be, I'd say she would be one of the first influencers, I would think. I mean, I think my brain would always probably go more to Kim Kardashian just because of like, she actually utilizes social media in a more kind of like nuanced way, and like she kind of keeps up with it more. Whereas like Paris is so like on her Instagram, she's like so filtered and she's like, hey, it's me. You don't really get, like, not that you get a huge insight into Kim Kardashian, but like there's a little bit more like
realness,
tangible kind of like content there. Do you know what I mean?
Even in terms of like the products, like, you know, when they were saying like, oh, I've made this, I've made that, I'm like, yeah, I've seen your hair straighteners down in Little Hun. Like, it's like your stuff is shit, like your stuff isn't respected. But like with Kim Kardashian, their like makeup lines and their clothing is very respected.
It's good
and like
quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paris Hilton seems a bit like she's trying to scramble for something. She seems like she's very lost.
Which was first? Was Britney's perfume first or was it Heiress?
I think Britney.
Fantasy. Is that what it was?
Yeah. And I remember the bottles kind of looked a little bit similar. I'd say maybe she was a little bit inspired by Britney.
And do you know that Britney Spears, the only reason that she stayed afloat during all of that shit was because of that perfume.
Really?
It's the biggest selling celebrity perfume.
It's still in
kind of
like
fab.
It's really nice. Yeah. I still smell people wearing Fantasy and I'm like, that's actually
it's
a
still
really
in like almost every chemist.
Yeah, true. And like it's its own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like that old picture.
The little
of Britney
blue bottle.
That's made her like her most
amazing.
Oh my
god.
It's so crazy. Speaking of Britney, I watched Paris went on Andy Cohen. Watch What Happens Live, and she's like, hey, after her thing, and she spoke about the conservatorship. I didn't know she's still friends with Britney.
Oh, what did she say?
So Andy was like, apparently she came out and was like, it's terrible what's happening.
Or she's been commenting on stuff.
She's been commenting on it quite a lot.
With the Free Britney.
Yeah, the Free Britney stuff. Shit. Yeah. And she was just like, I just think it's terrible. Like, obviously I was controlled as a teenager and I can't imagine what it'd be like to be controlled as like an adult. And apparently they're friends because her Paris's best friend is best friends with Britney Spears. Random fucking. And then like Andy Cohen,
they have a mutual life.
They have a mutual friend called like, I think like Kim or something. He's like, I know Kim. I'm like, that is so random. But she was like, yeah, it's so terrible. And then like, it was so cute. He was like, so do you ever speak about this to Britney? And she's like, no, I just like to speak about positive things to Britney. She's so sweet and so nice and just really cute. And then he was like, do you go on double dates with her? With, you know, like her quote unquote boyfriend.
Yeah.
Who's like 100% her carer. And she's like, no, it's just like a group of mutual friends. I'm like, okay.
You're surprised that she's out and about with her friends.
She said she's had like a few dinners over summer with Britney Spears. And she said she's
put that on your poxy social media.
I know. Yeah. Well, she doesn't have her fucking phone. That's the thing.
Who?
Britney. That's the
whole
thing.
Paris.
Oh, Paris. Yeah, I know.
Like Paris. Yeah. That's
content.
Yeah, I guess it's like some weird like
we don't need the like filtered with the butterflies all over you being like I love
on a unicorn in the sea. Yeah, like those weird memes.
I have to say another standout moment for me of like I kind of felt sorry for her was when she was in Mykonos. First of all, she lied being like I haven't been on a holiday since I was 15. I'm like, yeah, fucking right, bitch. That is a lie.
I kind of believed it.
Did she?
I'm very gullible though.
Wait, I kind of believed it because she hasn't been on a holiday.
She's like, I haven't been on a vacation since I was 15.
Paris.
Paris.
But she's always in Ibiza.
I know
but
she's
that work, like,
yeah. But I'm like,
yeah.
Come on. Like yeah. Your work is like, I mean, I get it. Like,
and then how was that a vacation if she was being filmed?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like a content vacation.
Yeah, I found it so hard to see what actually really is her. I'd still watch another documentary in 10 more years saying this is actually Paris. Yeah. Because I haven't gotten to the conclusion. Like,
I don't
the
think
answer.
She knows. I think the answer is I think she just really doesn't know who she is.
Yeah.
And I think she has like a personality disorder.
Yeah.
Like mild one maybe.
I don't know about that. I think she just was like brought up in such a weird world and it's just like really hard for her to be a normal person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like she's just refused. Like she's not made normal relationships. Like you could even see when she was with her fella or whatever, it was very much like a fake little like, oh, we're watching TV
for the camera.
Yeah, or just like so she could feel some sense of normality.
Yeah.
And
I even like one thing that bothered me is the amount of stuff she has. So much
in all those glass cases.
Yeah, and it's all flammable and shite. Do you know?
All the sunglasses, all the same sunglasses in those boxes that she was just opening and I was like,
and they don't look like Chanel or they look like crap.
It seems like anywhere she goes, like at one point she was like, I travel like what was it, 250 days of the year. It's like anytime she goes anywhere she buys, like remember the amount of cash that fell out of her fucking bag?
That was bizarre.
Like remember she was like, don't put this bag down, Paris. She's like, oh, is that my money?
Yeah.
She's
who
has money?
Like who carries that much cash around with them?
Yeah.
When you're also a celebrity. That's so dangerous, first of all. And she's like, hey, coming. Remember her fucking weird fans that flew to fucking Korea? Like,
I feel much more safe when they're around.
She said it's she calls them her friends. That made me sad. Like that and then that scene I was saying in Mykonos where she was like in the pool, just like recording herself.
Also, I don't know any of her friends, like when you actually think about it. And like, would they not have been in the documentary? Mm. Like one or two of them maybe. But it was just Nikki and it was just maybe, a little thing from Kim. But like, who are her
everything
people?
And it seemed really, really superficial. And I think she just seems to be someone who's like kept afloat because she's Paris Hilton and because of that like virality of her being famous like back in the day. And she's able to just like capitalize off that. Like, it's just basically the same as being an heir. Like, she's just... people are going to see her DJ because she's Paris Hilton or whatever. And people are still buying her random perfumes and stuff. But like, it seems like she's not able to move with the times. And I found the documentary to be a little bit of a reach to be relevant to today because she obviously has created this character. And now the arc of like social media has made that people who are like doing well and like other people who are like connecting is like transparency and like kind of honesty online, and she's now trying to be like,
I'm honest.
Well, guess what happened to me? I like went away to a weird place in Utah. Like me, it felt a bit like a scramble to be relevant now because she's obviously seen, you know, her peers kind of like move with the times, and like you were saying, like her clothes. It's just bizarre to me that she was like wafting around in these like black long chiffon. Yeah. Did you see that when she was like in Korea, and she was just like. Floating around in front of all the cameras.
All her dresses are like Deb's dresses from like 2006. They're all just these floaty Swarovski vibes.
And she loves a Swarovski.
Loves a Swarovski.
She hasn't changed her style. Like even her hairstyle has been the same forever.
I think that's like her like I think she's trying to cling on to her like character still, because like her character like of like Paris Hilton, like the brand, made her so relevant, and she was so relevant for so long in pop culture. And I feel like she's actually afraid to
of
like
losing that.
of losing it. It's why she has this like Peter Pan syndrome. She's like, and it's why I think she's like actually leaned into it more and more and more. Like as you said, when she used to just be this kind of cool pop culture thing, like her style was actually quite banging, and like she was cool, and she was wearing all this black fucking eye. Like she actually is like, you know, a lot of her looks are like now like iconic. Like all those dresses came out, the fake ones of the ones she wore for her 21st birthday, the Swarovski dress.
That was
and
incredible.
She had the short little hair, which was so cute.
And she had
the big black eyes.
And like, but now it's like, I feel that because she's become less relevant and less relevant. And I think part of it is because I think what she resents less than resenting Kim as a person, I think she resents the fact that she, because she always says like, when I, you know, when The Simple Life was over, I wanted to never do reality TV again. And I wanted to like, quote unquote, work on my brand and my business and my empire, as she calls it. Whereas like, I'd say it would be annoying seeing that Kim Kardashian, you know, also had a sex tape, a leaked sex tape, like against her, their consent, then got like Keeping Up the Kardashians and did it for 20 seasons while also building her empire and her brand. And it actually fed into it. And I'd say that would be resentful, as in like, I say somewhere deep down, she knows like she should have kept up doing reality TV.
She made a business mistake.
Yeah. And it's like where Kim did it all. And she was, it's kind of almost like poor little rich girl, a bit of like heiress laziness or something, thinking that like you can just fuck off and make.
Rest on it.
Yeah. So now it's like she's gotten so irrelevant. Like her look is irrelevant, but like I think that she's afraid. It's all she has. It's the only thing she's really built is this like bimbo blonde hair, like chihuahua persona.
Yeah.
And it's scary, I'd say, as you get older. Because like, do you ever think of that? Like, you know, when you're looking at people online, I'm like, I wonder what you're going to be like when you're like 50. Because I can't imagine. You know,
do you ever feel
like
that with yourself,
will Jess
James?
Brennan still be like bopping around in the little, I hope she is.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I get people being like, oh, Lindsay, you're going to be like that baddie granny. And I'm like, fuck off. I don't want to be that.
Yeah. I'd sometimes kind of, I like who I am, and I like my, I don't know, I bop around the place and I dance in my kitchen and I do all this, but then I wonder, am I actually being, I'm 31. Sometimes I get a bit afraid. Yeah. I'm like, am I doing this just to do it?
Yeah.
For Instagram or whatever. I'm actually doing it because I really like it. So I can like, I can understand a little bit about Paris and about being trapped in a caricature that you invent or that you make or that you are at the start, and then maybe you add little bits to it, but it becomes almost out of your control or something.
It is.
Like
that. Because do you ever get like where you see like maybe other influencers... None of us do because we're perfect, obviously. But like where they might have had like a bit of a viral thing or a moment, and then they're just like rehashing it and rehashing it and rehashing it and rehashing it. And you're like, they're trying to make something that was like maybe organic and in the moment like happen again and again and again and again and again. Yeah. And like that can be a fear as well. And I can see how she is doing that. Like she's still being like, that's hot, and like doing the voice. It's like, you know?
I think that's interesting to see how, you know, because I totally resonated with that as well. I think it's good to talk about like how we find ourselves doing that, you know, because if you have a camera in front of you every day, which we do like on our Instagram and stuff, you do. It is like you can be as transparent as, you know, possible, but like it is just, it's a camera in front
you
of you.
You switch on.
Well, because otherwise it would just be me like watching TV.
Boring AF, like when I'm doing my bits, but you do, you put on something and you have something to talk about. So you put on like a personality or whatever. So I can only imagine it in terms of Paris, which is just so heightened and so, you'd feel really not real, I think.
I mean, as well. So say like we're in each with our jobs, like we get feedback all the time. So like if we put up a particularly good story or episode or whatever, say something really funny, like people will, you know, respond to that, and you're like, okay, it's like you're obviously gonna be like, okay, people like that. And then if you do something that gets a bad reaction, you're like, oh, they don't like that. So you do kind of like mold
you
yourself,
create your life in terms of the likes.
Well, it's like, you know, of course it, even like subconsciously I think you do it, you know, even if you're like, I don't care that they didn't like that, you're not going to do it again. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you
or
know.
Even sometimes, like I find, you know, I don't know if you're the same, but sometimes if I get like a bad reaction for something, it's like the rebel in me that's like, haha, I kind of liked about it. I'm like, fuck you then. If you think I'm this kind of person, I'll be it. You know the way?
Yeah.
Because it's like, so suffocating in even in my little way of like, you know, especially like say with COVID now, everyone's like on their phone so much, they're on people. I feel like, I don't know if you've been the same, but like hate and stuff like that has gone like...
Oh, it's gone off.
Extreme.
Do you feel that, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Just even like little sly remarks you get back now and then that would have never really happened before.
Like nitpicky.
Nitpicky, yeah. And just like, just meanness. That like, if there's that's not a helpful message for you or for me to go that way. And maybe it is because everything's been heightened or whatever.
I think people just sat on their fucking phone.
Well, I think it was like, we found, like they, people who like to do that and like to be passive remarkable about people online, they had an excuse because like, everything was illegal, so they could give out to us for everything. Like, oh, are you enjoying being out? And it's like, I need to make content in these hard times, though. But yeah, I do find that for myself, and even that, like, over the past few years, I guess my caricature has grown and even been more so in my real life. Sometimes, like,
well, it kind of blurs the line because it's like, it is also you.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't realize is like, it came from an element of you.
Yeah.
It's not that you've like completely, and that's the weird thing with the Paris thing, because I'm like, allegedly it was like completely pulled out of her ass. But like, or kind of like, it seemed to me for her, it was like more of a projection of what she thought people wanted her to be or what would make her famous.
Yeah.
But like with, you know, our like, quote unquote, like online kind of like public persona, say, it's more so like, it comes from you, but then like as it goes on and the more you're on your phone, the more you're making content, blah, 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 you're like, there's a weird like gray area where you're like, am I that because I like leaned into being like that, or would I be like this anyway?
Yeah. To be fair, I know you both over 10 years now at this stage. Like you're the exact same.
Yeah, so are you.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think when I see you both online or whatever, there's just a bit of spice on it. On top of what you are. And
well,
I feel like I'm the same as well. Like, I do turn the volume up a little bit.
Yeah.
If I'm hosting something or if I'm doing something online.
You would have been like that at pre-drinks.
Do you know what I mean?
you know what I mean? Like, it's like, of course, it's like hanging out with your friends. You're a little bit hyper and you're like,
well, it's like posing for a photo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
You're not going like, to do that. You're going like, to put your hands on your hips.
Yeah. And you like straighten up.
Yeah.
But like, and I mean, I think... I mean, but doesn't everyone do that? Like, I remember, what did I watch? I can't remember where I heard this quote, but they were saying, so it was about drag, and they were saying, like, everyone is in drag every day. Like, if you work in Dunn's,
you're going born naked and the rest is drag.
Yeah.
And you're, like, going in and you're, like, you know, you have to be, like, the girl who's behind the counter if you're in an office. So, like, we're always, like, it's kind of, and now I think everyone's about, like, transparency and being a real person. I don't know. It's kind of hard to
know. It is, actually. It's interesting when you say that, because, like, I was talking to this barrister, and I was talking to him about the wigs and stuff they wear, and they don't have to wear them. They actually...
Such a you thing to be talking to someone about, by the way.
Are you asking where he got the wig?
Yeah! Where'd you get your barrister wig? But it's actually interesting. They used to wear them back in the olden times. They had to disguise themselves in court,
so
then that criminals wouldn't recognize them on the streets. But I was like, oh, why do you wear them now? And he's like, to be honest, it's like a superhero wearing a cape. When I wear that barrister wig and my thing, I fly into court. And he's very dramatic. And the lawyer he was with was saying the same. He's like, when I put a suit on, I'm a lawyer. I feel like a lawyer.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same for everyone.
Totally. I hope that tradition of the little curly wig doesn't go.
Yeah, no.
Do you know what's gas when the women wear them? I mean, more fair, but I just think that they've got these like fucking curly like tendrils on the side of their head.
Why, like, why snake that hair? Go down the corridors. Like, it is kind of fast.
Because that was the hair that like
Victorian
aristocracy would wear then.
Gosh. So know.
It would be like us all wearing like 22 inch fucking Euro extensions. Or like all men wearing like a fade, a bald fade wig.
But I mean, me getting these stenos, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even my dad wears his Snickers when he's not even near a building site.
Because
he loves feeling like a builder.
Yeah. And my dad's the same.
We're all in drag.
We are.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, I think she was definitely from this documentary, Paris, was trying to like connect and get people to understand her. So she obviously feels a bit lost in the person that she is and the perception of who she is. But I feel like she doesn't do herself any favors by the people she surrounds herself with, the lifestyle she leads.
Do you know what else as well is different? Like us three, we still have the same friends we had 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And like, even when you hear like celebrities being friends with celebrities just because celebrities, I couldn't do that. Or like, I love being friends with like
You're normal people.
Yeah. Even when you look at Kim Kardashian, she, like, if you watch the Kardashians, most of her mates are just like random. I mean, they're other rich kids.
Yeah.
Because she grew up rich. So her friends are obviously going to be from Bel Air as well, of course. It'd be weird if she was like, I'm friends with this normal. It was actually weirder that fucking Paris called her fans her friends.
Yeah.
Like these two super fans that flew from America to Korea. Like, that's not normal behavior. If they were your friends, they'd be on the jet with you, hon.
Yeah.
They're not your friends. And like, yes, they probably like love you and like they have adoration to you, but you're still a celebrity to them. There's like, there is always going to be a differentiation there. Yeah. Whereas like at least Kim Kardashian, like some of her mates are like, oh, they're rich kids, but she's been
that she went to school with.
Yeah, she's been mates with them for years.
And I think that's kind of key. It's what the group you keep as well.
And because remember, Nikki did say that she was like, she's always surrounded by a group of yes men. And you could totally see that. I think everyone's like, yes, Paris, you look amazing. Like, yes, that those clothes are great.
That would mess with your head. Like, and it like, really would. Like, you need to go to schlagen sometimes.
You do. You need to be like, just grounded.
Yeah.
In reality. What do you think, James? What would be like, if you were to manage, we always like love playing these games in like voice notes.
Oh yeah, this is so fun.
Like if you were to be like hired as Paris Hilton's new like press officer and like for her business manager, like where would you say she should go or like what should she do with like her, with the whole fucking shit?
Yeah, to be honest, like maybe another like reality show or something. Do you know, I loved Paris Hilton's Best Friend. Do you remember that show?
Oh.
Paris Hilton's BFF.
Oh my god, I completely forgot. Yeah,
it was shot in Dubai and it was so bizarre. They were like these like, you know, gorgeous Arab girls coming up and she's like, I love you all, but I super like one of you. You are my new best friend. And like the one of them, they'd walk up crying
like the
and
Bachelor.
It's like, yeah.
So this was post breakdown of the relationship with Nicole Richie, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
I think
it was
to
find a new best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is wild. And like, it's weird that like we never got the conclusion over that fucking argument. Like, what the hell happened?
I know.
Apparently, the most consistent story that I heard about it was that Nicole Richie played her sex tape at a party.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I can't remember where the fuck I read. I read it because I'm...
Oh, that sounds kind of familiar, actually.
Yeah, it was like that she played the sex tape in front of all their friends at a party. And now with... obviously, when you watch the documentary, you kind of find out that like that was like way less consensual than we thought. And it was like it was quite a dark... I mean, of course, it's a dark and horrible thing that would probably happen to you. And I guess like, I mean... You know, think of it in the arc. Like, I mean, if I something like that happened to me, imagine I came over to the gaff and you were showing everyone my fucking sex. I'd be like, are you joking?
Yeah.
And I could, you can kind of see that obviously Nicole Richie, you know, has openly spoke about like how she was like mad into, you know, she was doing a lot of drugs and she was partying. And, you know, she was kind of known for being a bit of a, like, remember that iconic thing she did, which would so get her cancelled as fuck now that she had that party and like weighing scales at the front door.
No,
and if you weren't
that.
Under 100 pounds, you weren't getting in.
What?
I'm not sure if that was definitely true. I think she joked about it on the invitation.
It was on the invitation, and there, I think, but like
it's because she had dropped. I think as well
because she had got so.
It seems like, you know, when they first came on the scene, Paris Hilton was like the hot, skinny, gorge one, and Nicole Richie was the kind of like shorter, a bit dumpier, and kind of like the wild one. And then it did seem to affect their relationship when that dynamic changed, and Nicole got really fucking hot and stylish.
Were they like friends from kids?
Yeah,
weren't they?
Yeah, because like I guess they all grew up. Like, I mean, her dad's Lionel Richie, so they all lived in this.
But Paris, or what's her name, Nicole Richie, has a new show where she's a rapper.
No.
Yeah, it's called something Richie or whatever. Oh, it's so, it looks so good. She's like,
she's still so funny.
Yeah, she is.
She's trying to become a rapper, and that's the show. And it looks so gas. But like watching it, like, she's just chatting to people, and the like comedy she comes out with is just razor sharp. Yeah. I just can't imagine her and Paris having a conversation.
She reminds me of like a young Joan Rivers, Nicole Richie.
Yes.
Always
did.
Super quick, really dark humor.
Yeah,
but knows how to deliver it well.
And you'd be thinking 2 minutes later you'd get the joke. She said,
really sharp.
I can't believe you went there. For me with Paris Hilton, what would I do? I think I would do another kind of, like, obviously Simple Life made her famous. So if it was that she had like the new reality show was to try to make her live a normal life for a little while, test out a normal life, because like she's trying to like relate to people and stuff like that, but like you're traveling all over the world DJing, like you have no sense of, it just seems like she has no like normal part of her life. Like,
and she keeps saying yes to every job, which is obviously a problem.
Well, it completely dilutes your worth.
Yeah.
And then she just like, then the only people who can be in her life, like she was saying, are people who will just fucking be like bitches and follow her around. Like, her boyfriends obviously have not a lot going on if they can travel around the world with her for the whole year.
Remember, she said that. That was actually a really, I thought that was one of the most like interesting things she said when Nikki was like, are you ever going to like settle down or whatever? And she was like, well, what am I going to get? She's like, I either get some guy who's up to fucking nothing, some other rich kid who follows me around all the time, and then I immediately lose respect for him.
And they're emasculated.
Yeah, she's like, or.
Which was that guy in the documentary. Yeah,
and all of her fucking boyfriends. Yeah. And she was like, or I date a guy who's also busy and what we never see each other. I travel 250 days a year.
Yeah.
But she just doesn't seem to be able to like prioritize anything over like money.
No.
Which is bizarre because it's like you're already worth so much money.
Yeah. What else I would love is like an hour long special or maybe a 6-part Netflix series of her and Nicole Richie going down the simple life like path and like
revisiting.
Picking out iconic moments and like having talking about their relationship and being really honest about it. I think that would fly on Netflix.
Like a 6-part series, but where she kind of like does an episode with every former best friend.
Oh my God.
Like an hour with Nicole Richie where like they talk about the simple life and Kim they kind of almost like, what was that show? Have you ever watched it? Such a random show.
With This Is Your Life.
Is it Ricky Gervais and your man? And they like, they go around like eating and they're like just two friends. Like, oh no, it's your man, fucking Steve Coogan and that guy. And they're like, they go around Italy and like they're in their character, but it'd be cool if it was like her and Nicole Richie going around doing shit that they used to do, talking about it. Yeah, but then
Soho
like,
farmhouse.
Or maybe if there was like a therapist there as well, because I feel like Paris Oprah has an like inability to be just real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I feel like she isn't aware of her own feelings. I don't know. I feel she seems so just like so far removed from reality. Like
so far.
And I mean,
removed.
If you live that life, it makes sense how you wouldn't be connected to reality, because her reality is being photographed like mental, born into this crazy wealth, and now she just like bops around partying all the time and
didn't even have a normal childhood. Like I do think that that is key into like her inability to kind of grow up, is like she was, you know, basically taken away, sent away by her parents when she was 15 with no closure or no like real,
this is why this is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they kind of had these clinical visits with her. In that Andy Cohen thing as well, they were saying she was, because he was like, had you ever, he's like, I found it really shocking that like you never said anything to your parents. And she was like, there was times where I tried and like they would hang up the phone on me, or they would like, if they heard me tried to say something on the phone to my mom, they would like take away my phone privileges for like a month. So it was like either be cut off from your family or like hopefully get them to visit you every
once in a while. But I mean afterwards?
What do you mean afterwards?
Like that was obviously while she was at the camps. Mad that she didn't kind of...
I know. Well, I guess it's PTSD.
You think she was holding it out for the documentary?
I think it was PTSD. Yeah, true. Honestly, I think she has major PTSD. I really, really do. Like looking at those other women in like, they had fucked, like some of them were like talking about like had been suicidal for years.
Yeah.
Like all been in abusive relationships. Like clearly it's no fucking joke. And I think like...
This is Paris's way of coping.
Yeah. Like I think that it was just some sort of like... I can imagine coming out at 18 and being like, right, fuck thinking about that. I'm just going to now become. And she just went on this like roller coaster.
And she doesn't stop.
And never stopped.
And she didn't stop to think as well. She had no time to think, which is probably why she just kept saying yes to things.
And because, she has other people to do everything for her.
I find people who I've spoken to who've had trauma or, you know, issues when their childhood, they don't like being alone and they don't like being alone with their thoughts and stuff. So I think that's...
Like, you know, just go, go, go. Because like, of course, you're running away from it. Yeah. You know, that way.
And it seems to come from like a lot of distrust from her family. And if her family, because it just, the money thing really stood out to me, because like if her family, obviously they were the wealth, and but she has disappointed them, I guess. And I think she just seems to like be like going 90 to make as much money out of the Paris Hilton kind of caricature. Because I guess she knows, like she's obviously intelligent enough to realize that this is like has a sell by date on it.
Yeah. And to go back to what you were saying earlier, I'd love the episodes, one with Nicole Richie, Lindsay Lohan, and Britney Spears.
Oh, Britney.
And I'd love one with Kim as well.
Yeah,
like one with Kim, and then like it'd be so interesting. I mean, the Britney one, if it was like she finally got out of her conservatorship and Britney and her could actually chat, or like I'd love the Lindsay Lohan one, but maybe Oprah as the like mediator.
Oprah would be great for all of them, actually.
Yeah, she would.
Actually, like, and she'd drag out the realness.
Yeah, she'd be like, okay, sit down, honey.
I think Oprah needs to do a show with Paris. She hasn't done one, and she did one with Lindsay Lohan, and it was very raw and real.
It was. Imagine if like Britney got free and like there's a reality show of Britney and Paris trying to heal themselves from their trauma. And there's like therapists and like all these like dieticians working with them.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Stylist.
Yeah, oh, definitely they need a stylist.
Oh,
both of them are very trapped style-wise. And I know that's, like I was saying,
it's
superficial.
Like
Peter
Pan syndrome almost.
Freaky,
you know?
Wear. I'm like, how can you still access clothes from 2006?
Yeah.
Like, where?
What time machine are you using?
I know.
Especially like, when you're so rich. But come here, James. We have to let you go. I think you have to run off to the gym.
I'm pumping iron.
I know you're
rising grind.
I don't like to mention it.
Yeah, you're
but
a
I go to the gym.
You're a gym.
How long have you been going?
I'm mask for mask.
Gym gay.
2 weeks now.
Same.
2 weeks now.
Same.
And I'm getting slight little muscles on my shoulders.
See, I'd say you're going to get
tight.
Muscles.
You know, that's
you
what
know
John
body
said.
Fat.
Yeah, he was like, you have the frame to get quite big.
Because you also have like a low body fat. So like you won't have to put on a lot of muscle, but you'll look like ripped.
My goal is kind of like to look like a swimmer.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Very
I love
hot.
A swimmer lean muscle
a lean
body.
Moment.
Yeah. Because I'm not going to be a big beefy bitch. Let's be real.
No.
But I'd like a little kind
that's,
of moment.
Because you eat a lot, right?
I eat so much. I can't put on weight. Can't.
You never have. You always eat, like, as long as I've known you, you've been like butter queen. You're
butter and cream queen.
Yeah. I was 9.5 stone or whatever when I met you. I'm still not 9.5 stone.
You're like,
how ridiculous is that?
I think
that,
you're like lighter than I am then.
That is gas.
That's gas. Oh well, hon, go pump some iron.
I gotta pump it,
get
babe.
Them gains, baby.
And thanks for coming out to us.
Anytime.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Love
talk
you.
Soon. Bye.
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 Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.